Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on page 29, The Wrong Identity. And with a quick reminder that the phone lines are not open today, we'll get underway. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. I just think this is one of the most exciting chapters in this particular book because it really defines what happened to us the moment that we believed. You know, a lot of times we tell the story, and all the time we tell the story from our perspective, from the earthly side, the human side of things. And this chapter really takes us to heaven's side so that we can see it from God's perspective. What actually happened to us? What did he do to change us, to transform us, to make us new in Christ Jesus? And we call this the crossover. So from God's perspective, we've crossed over from death to life. So that needs to be our perspective. Yeah. We were dead in sin, and now we are alive in Jesus Christ, fully alive.
Yes.
You know, our bodies were alive, our souls were alive, and now our spirits have been made alive in Jesus Christ. So we are fully alive in him. And that is really good news. So when we were dead, you know, we were in the wrong place. We were connected to the wrong person. We were living for the wrong purpose. And we also had a wrong identity. And that's what we want to talk about today, what our identity was before coming to know Christ and what our identity is now that we are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, Adam, he was created just absolutely perfect. And then when Satan came into the picture and deceived Eve, and Adam went along and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, everything changed. That was the fall of man. And Adam became a sinner. And because he became a sinner, we all became sinners as well. So we're born into this world as sinners. So we want to look at several passages, Romans 5:19. And the question is, what were we made through the disobedience of Adam? And here's what Romans 5:19 says: for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So because of Adam's disobedience, what did we become in Adam?
Sinners.
We were sinners. That was our identity. Now, that's not something that we like to admit, is it?
No.
No, we'd like to, you know, rosy up things and make us look as good as we possibly can in view of others. We want them to see us as pretty good people. So we don't want to admit this hard truth that we are, that we were sinners. We don't even like to say that we sin. I mean, it's very hard to say, I sinned, that action I just did was a sin. We like to call it a mistake, or, hey, we messed up, or, you know, all of those sort of things. We very rarely call things as they really are, as God sees them, sins. And before we came to know Christ, it was very difficult for us to come to that point and realize that we were indeed sinners. But that's not a bad thing to admit, because Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. So if you don't want to admit you're a sinner, you're not going to connect with him as the Savior of sinners. So we have to admit that we were sinners. That was our identity before coming to know Christ. So in 1 Timothy, we see this statement: here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So Paul recognized this. Now, he had a hard time admitting he was a sinner. He thought he was, as far as legalistic righteousness was concerned, faultless. I mean, he was a Jew among Jews, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the rising star. He was the future leader of Judaism. That's who Paul was. And he was very outspoken about this new sect called the Way, and was there to rid the world of that new that new belief system and protect Judaism. And then he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, he was the first to admit that, hey, I'm the chief of sinners. And he recognized that Jesus came to save him. So it's not a bad thing to admit this truth, is it?
Oh, not at all. And in fact, it's freeing. I remember back in the bad old days for me, you know, I wanted to be Paul. I wanted to be able to speak like that, to write like that. And one day the Spirit said to me, well, don't you realize you are just like Paul? You're trying to substitute good works for the fact that you're a sinner. When are you going to admit the truth? Well, not today.
Not today.
Let's continue trying for a while.
That's right.
And he finally got through to me.
Yeah.
And it's so freeing to just tell the truth. Lord, I'm dead without you.
Yeah. It's exactly what Jesus said. You shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. Well, he's talking about being set free from sin and death. And that if you sin, you're a slave to sin.
Yeah.
And we have to admit that. I mean, truth will set us free. So when we come to this truth that we were sinners, some of you who are listening now may have never come to know Christ. Yeah. You've never crossed over from death to life. Your identity is a sinner. Well, would you admit that today? There's nothing to fear because God sent Jesus to save you. He wants to save you right now and give you a brand new identity. He wants you to cross over from death to life so that you can be with him forever. So admit it. Stand on that truth.
Yes.
And when you do stand on that truth, then you can receive the truth of the gospel. That's why this is so vitally important. So Adam passed on an identity to us that is not an identity that we're proud of, but it's our true identity apart from Jesus, sinner. Admit that, and you will be ready to receive what Jesus came to do, and that was to save sinners. So we, in light of this verse, why is it important for you to admit the truth that you're a sinner?
You're not ready to accept the offer of grace and this new identity until you're willing to say the truth.
Absolutely. Got to start with truth. Truth will set us free from sin and death so that we can experience new life in Christ Jesus. So what happens when we do receive Jesus Christ? And I think this is where the Christian life really gets exciting. And we see in John 1, verses 12 and 13, this powerful passage. So John is writing about Jesus, how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that he is the light of the world. But he said he came to his own, and his own received him not. So those that he came to, they rejected him. They crucified him. They plotted against him to have him crucified, dead, and buried. That's what they wanted to do with Jesus. They rejected him as their Messiah. But then he says, but all who did receive him, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God.
Yeah.
So we are born into this world in Adam. And as a result of that, we're sinners. We're born again into Christ. And as a result of that, we've been given a brand new identity called child of God. So if you're a believer today, who are you? Now, many will answer, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, that's what you were. You were an old sinner. You were saved by grace. But now you have a brand new identity, and that's child of God, saint by calling. You were born into that identity, not based on anything that you did, but based on the fact that God gave you new birth in Jesus.
You notice this phrase, he gave the right to become children of God. This is an unalienable right. If I believe in Jesus, I have the right to be a child of God. No one can take that away from me. I can't even take it away from me. I am now a child of God because God says so. I mean, you got to come to grips with that. That's another one of those truths we have to admit.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is your new identity in Christ? Child of God. So again, we talk about the importance of truth, admitting the truth that you were a sinner. Now it's equally as important, or even more so, to admit the truth about your new identity in Christ, that you are now a child of God. That is going to equip you to stand strong against the attacks of your enemy, because this is one of those areas that he is going to attack time and time again. I know in my own life when, you know, I couldn't figure out how this Christian life was really supposed to work. I was applying human effort as generously as I possibly could, but to no success with that. And I kept hearing voices saying, you're not even a Christian. How can you call yourself a Christian and still, you know, sin like you're doing and still struggle with this? And finally, I came to the point and said, well, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not a Christian. So the enemy really got into my mind and played havoc in my thinking. And so this is vitally important for us to stand on the truth that we are now children of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're listening and viewing the Friday study series at Basic Gospel. It's through the pages of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, available with each week's study notes. When you visit our website, basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. I want to remind you also that we have a gift for you when you sign up for ministry emails. It's our ebook called Forgiveness, The Door to Life, a powerful resource to set you on the path of freedom and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your free copy today. Just click subscribe at basicgospel.net. Bob, back to you.
Well, thanks. So we're talking about identity, crossing over from death to life means we've crossed over from an old identity of being a sinner to a new identity of being a child of God. So what was the compelling reason for this change in identity? And we're going to see that in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And this is one of those signature passages. Yes. Of course, you know, there's a whole bunch of those in the Word of God.
There are a few, yeah.
Yes, indeed. But there's something about this that really hits the core of who we are and how we should live as children of God. And it all starts with the love of God. So John writes, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. And that word lavish is a wonderful word. It's not that he just directed a little bit of his love toward us. I mean, he poured it out generously to overflowing. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. The love of God compelled him to do something on our behalf to change our identity so that we can now be called children of God. He calls us his children. We can stand on that truth and say with confidence, I am a child of God. Now, that brings up a question. Is everybody in the world a child of God?
No. We started with this. You have to know that you're a sinner. You have to admit that you were born into Adam, a sinner, dead spiritually. Then, well, that takes you to the cross. Then you move from the cross to the empty tomb and the resurrection, and now God is making you alive because you've accepted the risen Christ. Then he says you're a child of God.
Child of God. So not everyone out there in the world is a child of God. There are lots of people who constantly say, well, we're all just children of God. And that's a wrong statement. It's not true. Only those who have been born again, born of God, can be called children of God. And that's as a result of the love of God that he's lavished on us. Now, that love's available to all.
Yes.
I mean, he's pouring that love out on everyone. And as people respond by faith to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they experience new birth. Born again as children of God. And he said, and that is what we are. So that's what we are in this world today. We're children of God. Now, there's lots of folks that are trying to make a name for themselves in this world. They want to be somebody's. They want to be special. They want to be the best. Recently watching a documentary on O.J. Simpson, And he said, you know, it's not money that I want, it's fame. I want people to know me and to look at me and think that I'm somebody special. Well, I think that's something that resides in all of us. We want to be somebody special. You know, I want to be the favorite kid. Not just a kid, I want to be the favorite kid. That's how we act. So we're looking for identity. We're looking for status. We're looking to climb that ladder so that the world can see us and say, wow, you are kind of a big deal. And that's what we really want.
Yeah.
But here in Christ, we've arrived at the greatest status that anyone could ever achieve as a human being. The status of child of God. There's no status greater than that. Now, we didn't climb the ladder to get there. It wasn't based on anything that we've done. This was all of God's work through Christ on our behalf. So he took us from the lowest identity we could ever be, sinner, and just elevated us all the way up to child of God. Doesn't get any better than that.
Not at all.
So that is what we are. Now, the world doesn't see us that way, and the reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. So the world doesn't recognize us as anything special. It doesn't recognize that status as child of God as the end goal for every human being. As a matter of fact, the world mocks us and makes fun of us and calls us, oh, you're just some of those Christians, because they don't know who we really are.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a time when they do. And here's what John wrote. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. Now, how's that for some hope?
That's pretty good stuff.
That
right
is
there.
Powerful stuff. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Talk about a motivation to change how we live here and now. This is it. When Christ comes, when he appears, we're going to see him for who he is, and we're going to be like him. We're going to see what it really means to be a child of God. And that's the hope that we have. And because we have that hope, we purify ourselves just as he is pure. In other words, we recognize that we're strangers and aliens in this world, that we want to live as who we have become in Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of times we still stumble and fall, and we do things that we did as sinners. And when we do, we think, gosh, this just doesn't feel right anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This just doesn't match up with who I am in Christ Jesus. So if we really grab hold of our new identity in Christ, I think it's going to shape us in how we choose to live and act as we move forward as children of God.
Yeah. One of the great dangers of this passage, and this is something that I did to myself, is I started backwards. I went from verse 3 to verse 1. I started with all who have this hope in him purify themselves. And so I started to try to purify myself so that I could go up to verse 1 and say, now do you love me? Now do you love me? And it doesn't work in reverse.
Yes.
It must start with the love of God lavished on us to pull us out of death and make us alive. And then as a result of the indwelling spirit and this brand new identity, the desire for this old stuff begins to fall away. It will never fall away while you're trying to do it yourself.
Never. Yeah. Absolutely never. So who are you? You're a child of God. Do you know exactly what that's all about right now?
No.
No. But there's going to be a point in time when we're going to see Jesus for who he is, and all of it's going to become crystal clear for you at that particular moment.
Yeah.
So allow that hope to shape your thinking today, to purify you from the things of this world, and set you fully, your heart and mind, in alignment with Christ and all that he has for you as his child. You're actually his brother.
Yes.
In this family of God. So what are you? You're a child of God. So what does it mean to cross over from death to life? It means to cross over to a brand new identity. Now, how does all of this happen? Well, Jesus is the bridge.
Yes.
He's the one that bridges the gap between death and life, because he died in your place, because he was buried to put an end to your old way of life, because he was raised back to life, because he ascended into heaven and was given the gift of God's Spirit to pour out on man. He is the one that takes us from death to life. There's no other way apart from Jesus Christ. So when you have Christ, what do you have? You have life.
Yes.
And that's what John writes in 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So do you have the Son? If you have the Son, what else do you have?
Life.
Life. Can you have life apart from the Son?
No.
Absolutely not. Life is in Jesus. He's the one that enables you to cross over from death to life by giving you his very life. Mm-hmm. So if you have the Son, you have the confidence that you have life everlasting. It's not something that you can hope or wish for. It's something that you can know that you have. Now, Jesus said this as well: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is there any other way to experience this crossover?
Well, just a minute. That sounds awfully exclusive and standoffish. You know, how can that be true? Well, it's true because Jesus said it. If Jesus is God and Jesus did all the things he said he did, and he did, and he continues to do, then we can look at this passage and say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And he's the only one that has life to give us.
Yeah.
Hey, there's all kinds of religious belief systems. There's all kinds of philosophies out there. There's all kinds of things that the world holds out as important and meaningful and worthwhile. But all of them are lacking the one thing that we all need, and that's life.
Yeah.
So religion can't give you life. Philosophy can't give you life. Money and wealth and sex and all of those things can't give you life. They don't have them to give.
Yeah.
Only Jesus has life, and that's why we have to come to him to experience life, to experience this crossover. I give an example in the book about cancer. We're all desperately searching for a cure from cancer, and there are medical teams all over the world searching for the cure. Well, let's say there's a group in Chicago that finds the cure for cancer, and not just some cancers, but all cancer. They have the cure. Well, what are you going to tell somebody who has cancer? Go to Chicago, and there you're going to be cured. Well, somebody might say, well, that sounds so exclusive. What about those fine scientists in Atlanta or Hong Kong or over in Europe? Well, yeah, they may be doing great work, but they don't have what I'm looking for. If I'm going to be cured of cancer, I have to go to Chicago. Well, it's the same here. If you want to be cured of death, if you want the death, your death problem to be solved once and for all, if you want your sin problem to be solved once and for all, there's only one place to go, and his name is Jesus. Why? Because he's conquered sin and death once and for all, and now has life to give for all who will receive it. So do you want to cross over from death to life? If so, receive Jesus today. Open your heart and say, Lord, I need you. Thank you for dying, and thank you for coming back to life so that I can experience new life in you.
Absolutely. Great stuff, guys. Thank you so much. Friends, we're glad that you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book and study guide, along with the weekly study notes, are available at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. A reminder, too, that Basic Gospel needs your help to keep the good news on the air. We ask you to join with us today by clicking donate on our website, basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you and have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.